C1G.
Number 14B.
So, can you see that actually in that 6 day, you would have to find if really man is the image and likeness of God, not only the seven, but the four. And actually it is so. Again, you can see what happened. This matrix, as I've said, of John Dooley, he was computing through his spiritual and scientific sense around about 1943-44, but only later on when he gave the talks on the Bible, 1947, a few years afterwards, and studied really what Mrs. Eddy was saying in the sixth day, he began to realize that Mrs. Eddy would interlock into the sevenfold development of the sixth day the four sides of the holy city. Namely, interlock the word as the word, as you have it there, mind, spirit, soul. Interlock then the Christ as the Christ, as you have it there, as truth, love, soul, spirit. That you would interlock Christianity as Christianity, which was in the matrix actually then in the reversed order, what we always have in Christianity, therefore was interlocking there in the reversed order naturally life, truth and love, soul, spirit, soul, mind, and then science as science, principle. And I can show you through the text, naturally this is not just a hypothesis, but that actually the text runs through that way. Which would naturally give us a terrific sense, you know. It would show us this, that in the 7 days of creation, which are a way of how we approach the subject of being and are in an ordered way led into the reality of everything, that we would start out with the simple steps of mind and spirit and soul until we come to the principle of being. And that principle of being, therefore, at the fifth day can show us two things, can show us as the day of creation that it can constantly restructure them and give newness of life, but could also show that if it's a principle of being, that it will present the eternal ideas of being, the numerals of infinity. Then, if we take that course to show that principle of being in the fifth day shows us the numerals of being, of infinity, namely the identities of being, therefore are timeless, they are numerals, then naturally we could come to the sixth day and see that these identities of being from God's point of view are constantly operating as the holy city, are operating in the four, are operating as the word as the word, Christ as Christ, Christianity as Christianity, science as science, and give us even a more powerful, a larger sense of God's consciousness of himself. So let's quickly run through the text and see how actually Mrs. Eddy in the text intertwines these four steps of word as word, Christ as Christ, Christianity as Christianity, science as science, as symbolized through those synonymous terms. The first word as word, and you have it here on the study material laid out very specified, and you can see that the word as word again would show what? what we have found before, namely that the Word's Word is showing the order of God's primal creativity. The Word is always the Logos, is always the creative ability. So what are the creative factors? Again, they are the same creative factors that we have seen before. They are always mind, spirit, soul. That's, so to say, always the cornerstone. If we have mind, spirit, soul, we build on solid ground. We have the building blocks of being, so to say. And these three building blocks are brought out in the sixth day in those first two verses. Namely, it incorporates really truth as mind and truth as spirit. What did we see in truth as mind and truth as spirit? In truth as mind, we began to see what? Namely, mind, that God conceives of all thoughts, that all thoughts are eternal and remain in God. So that it's saying only that which God knows and conceives is of the nature of true creation. Then she goes on and shows that those that what God conceives is of the nature of spirit, namely it has only good and harmless quality, that it's only of the spiritual nature, and that that consists, constitutes really spiritual reality. We had that side note of spiritual reality. What did she say about those spiritual realities is? And she, you remember, through those various animals, she was depicting that all that is of the nature of spiritual reality has very definite, clear-cut qualities, like the lion and the worm and the serpent and the cattle, so that they are all defined qualities. And so you have the building blocks of reality. And that's in the text. That's how the text flows. Then there is a break, namely where man comes in. And so we see now the Christ as the Christ. And it is symbolized on the matrix, the Christ as the Christ, at this point here, and you have it in your study material, that the Christ as the Christ takes in the verses of truth as spirit, truth as soul and truth as principle. Those two verses where she said, let us make man, and then he made man, male and female. So what happens? God was contemplating himself. What does that mean? It is a wonderful sense of translation, that God is now translated in its likeness, in its perfect identity, as what is called man. So we get here really the Christ translation. And you have here in the study note, Christ as Christ, the translation of God to man. Let us make man, so that the nature of God is reflected in the nature of man. How does that reflection come about? You see now the use of this other category coming in, Christ as the Christ, because that always shows how does it come about. That's what the Christ has to show. What is the line of reasoning that such a translation can take place? This is another question, you see, than what we had in truth as soul and principle. It is asking how does that translation take place? And she answers it in those two the explanation of those two verses, and says first, I show you first from where it goes out, namely that Christ is truth. So it goes out from truth, and she begins first to show the tone of truth, and says that the truth translates itself to the point of every idea through reflection. That's what you have in your study note. I think you just can go along those study notes, and it's very clear. So that she would first show, all right, let's translate the truth of being to the point of man as idea. Then she shows, what does happen in that translation? She brings suddenly a whole paragraph on love in. That paragraph in love where she shows really that God fashions all things after his own likeness, and then says love bases all in beauty and goodness, so that man reflects God in glorified quality. She brings in all that everything reflects that love. That love, redolent with unselfishness, bases all in beauty. It's all about the grass beneath our feet, silently exclaims, the meek shall inherit the earth, the modest abutus sends forth the sweet breast to heaven, the great rock is shadowed and shared. Can you see that everything in being, the arbutus, the rock and everything, the churchdom and everything, reflects love. It's a universal reflection. So she starts out, truth is that which translates itself through reflection. How does it translate it? How big is that translation? It says it's universal, it's love. Everything is translated. And it translates itself down to every point. Then she comes to the tone of soul, with the verse where the Bible says, and God made man in the image and likeness, and made them male and female. And you can see that here a great sense of translation is shown, bringing out, we said here, soul translates the ideal truth to the point of ideal man and ideal woman, meaning that in that translation nothing is lost, that the identity, the true identity of God and man is kept, is preserved. Huh? Yeah, that the identity of God and man is preserved in that translation, that therefore the ideal God is presented as the ideal man and the ideal woman. It's still ideal. Nothing has gone lost on that way of translation. You see, usually in the material universe, whenever something is translated, something goes lost. If you translate a book from one language to the other, something gets lost. If you translate electricity from one place to the other, a lot of electricity gets lost. If you translate in a mechanical transmission something, a lot of the power gets lost. Always in the translation things get lost, but not in beings. That she wants to bring out. There is identity between the original and the reflection. So soul is that which upholds that identity. And finally she brings out the tone of reflection, that the ideal is reflected in an infinitude of ideas, not just in ideal man and woman, but in an infinitude of ideas. The ideal is reflected, she says, in countless ideas. There is no limit to infinitude and to its reflection. Can you see the point of spirit? Therefore, you see, actually I have to rely that you know your subject by now, you see. This Christ as Christ is within the tone of truth as soul, where God said, let us make man in the image and likeness of God. And within the tone of truth as principle, where the Bible said, and God made man in the image and likeness of, and made them male and female. What is the main tone of these two verses? Translation, from God to man. Both verses have a common denominator, translation. What is that common denomination? The Christ. Translation is always the Christ. The Christ is that which takes the whole and translates it to idea. Just look up what is the scientific translation of immortal mind on page 115, and you see it starts out with God and ends with idea, because that's the translation to translate God to the point of idea. How? How? How can I express that in detail instead of just saying it translates? What is going on in that translation? That translation is going on truth that says, I'm going to translate myself to every idea. It's so to say the making up his truth mind and say, I'm going to do something. I'm the Christ, I'm the truth Christ. My job is to translate the whole to the point of idea. I do that through love. Namely, I translate it to every idea. That whole paragraph suddenly was all about love, that love was translating everything to the rock and to the arbutus and to the church dome and into the sick chamber and so on and so on and so on, and beautifies the landscape. Can you see? The whole universe is there depicted in detail, that this translation is from the whole to the whole universe. But they must show that in that course of translation, nothing is getting lost, or is being lost, whatever the grammar is in English. It's soul that preserves the identity and says, the reflection will be absolutely identical as the original. It will, so that the ideal truth is reflected to the point of ideal idea. It's still ideal. It doesn't lose anything. And then comes the Spirit and says, and that kind of translation, where nothing is being lost in the course of translation, that goes on through the reflection of Spirit, namely to every idea, to the infinitude of ideas. Spirit is reflection. And in that way, the Christ as Christ has been shown forth. And you know then, when that tone is being set, that then there is no more creative ability shown forth in the days of creation, then we come to the point of truth as life and truth as truth, namely to that point where now man is shown in its bigness, you see, namely it's shown he should multiply and he should have dominion, and that he is so big that he can comprise the whole earth, the compound idea man, namely where all the ideas of the universe are a great brotherhood, they help each other, they are interrelated to each other. You see, again, those two next verses all depict, so to say, now the nature of manhood as the manhood of life of multiplication, of fullness, and of dominion, and of embracing the whole world. That is Christianity. And Mrs. Eddy shows that sense in those two verses, again interspersed into the text, and shows those how it is interspersed. What means Christianity as Christianity? What means the bigness of the idea man, and depicts it through these synonymous terms, but in the reversed order. It will go too far now, but most of you know that when it comes to Christianity, you always can have that order inverted according to the state, to the problem. Namely, Christianity is statement leading to proof, but you can also have proof that leads us to a statement. That big subject of Christianity as Christianity, which you also have in the 11th chapter of the textbook, which is also at the point of Christianity as Christianity, and there it is shown too, that we can either see Christianity as statement leading to proof, to demonstration, or demonstration leading back to understanding. So here, Mrs. Eddy shows the reverse order and starts out with life, truth, and love, and then goes to spirit, soul, mind. How? Well, what does she want to show here? Christianity as Christianity you have here depicted as infinite space is peopled with idea. all reflecting life, truth, and love. Can you see the tone of Christianity in here? It's all from the focal point of idea. Whenever we have Christianity, the focal point is on idea and is showing the bigness of an idea. So if you want to know how big the idea man is, we just have to see it through the Christianity order. And that what is shown here too, it is now that whole realm of idea. So at the point of life, she says that let man multiply in the earth, let man be an idea of multiplication, an idea of fullness, an idea of abundance. Then comes to truth, and let that man have dominion. He should be the Lord and not the servant, and it should be at the point of love. See, I have taken now life, truth, and love, and at the point of view of love, that man shows dominion over everything, over heaven and earth. It's a universal sense of his dominion. Then we come to spirit, and then afterwards to soul, then to mind. And so she said, that man is actually a compound idea. Spirit is the compound idea where every idea reflects every other idea. That's your epitome here. And she shows that. She shows that he says I have given to man the herbs and the beasts for meat, for substance, you see, for the substance of spirit, as a fruit of spirit. And in that, the lesser idea helps the greater idea and serves the later idea, the higher protects the lower. You have an infinite interreflection of what constitutes man. The rich in spirit helps the poor, and so you get again that man is reflecting within himself the whole universe. Which means at the point of soul, that in that universe, through that activity, there is identity of interest. Identity of interest. The moment you have identity of interest, you see soul, because soul is identity, and therefore all interests are one interest. A terrific thing that we would have to work out in this century or the next century, that there is unity of interest in the whole world, and not fighting against each other, the West against the East, the North against the South, that the world is one world and must have one interest and not contrary interests, and that is what she brings out. Therefore, blessed is the man who supplies his brother's need, seeking his own in another's good. Can you hear the tone of the identity of interest? That constitutes man. And finally, at the point of mind, she brings out that therefore every idea is the full manifestation of God or mind. The full manifestation. Can you see now the bigness of the idea man? Love gives to the least spiritual idea. What? To the least one. Might, immortality, goodness. You see, everything. So that every idea reflects what? Every idea, the least idea reflects what? She says, health, holiness, immortality. Each idea reflects what? She says, infinite life, truth, and love. You have a terrific sense of man being at the point of manifesting the whole of God. Life, truth, and love. Then, with the last verse, really, of truth as love, she brings in that at the same time, signs of science, namely principle, in the way that principle includes all ideas in omni-action. That it was there where it says that on the sixth day everything was finished and everything was at the point of again, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. So it's all there. And she explains that verse very much in the tone of principle, very much in the tone of principle. We have principle here, signs are signs, and says, the divine principle comprehends and expresses all. Can you see the omni-action of it? It comprehends first, it includes first, and expresses it. It acts accordingly. So you have the omni-action of principle. All is as perfect as the principle is perfect. Nothing, therefore, is ever going on but principle and idea. Isn't it terrific? Now, in this way, you see, she shows that we can have a subject like the sixth day of creation, which is what? Which is naturally God's consciousness of himself. And you ask yourself, what is God's consciousness of himself? It is not only the seven, it is also the four. It's not only the seven, not only the nature of God, but it's also the way God operates and expresses itself. How does it operate and express itself? In the Word, as the Word, as first stating what are the primeval, creative building blocks, mind, spirit, soul. Then it shows that God translates himself to his universe, to man. So you add Christ as Christ. When God translates himself to man, then you ask yourself, how big is man? And you come to Christianity as Christianity, and he's explained that he's rather big. Namely, that he's at the point of life full, at the point of truth has dominion, at the point of love is really universal. That at the point then of spirit reflects everything, at the point of soul, that which is reflected is of the same nature as the original. So that finally he is an idea that expresses all. It's an idea of mind. And then you ask yourself, but is that man, that bigness of man, now an isolated idea? And you say, no, it's still the translated scent of God, therefore that idea, now you come to science, the sign operates constantly as an idea within principle. Principle comprehends and expresses all. Yes, that's it.